I wonder how much sand I can mail before they start asking questions. Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, I don't know what I just did there. Like, whatever the hell else we come up with. Vin Stone here in beautiful downtown Athens, Georgia. I'll be switching the bits, piloting our little nightmare train, joined every week by the man up north in Toronto, where it's still snowing because he had a show to go to, and that's how fate likes to stick you in the eyeball, Jordan Savong. And the man staying up late past his bedtime on the Isles of Britannia, across Oceania. Not all the way there, man. That's not Oceania.
Across Atlantis.
Atlantis, Distania. Yes, that is the dulcet tones of Juan Pedro Mateus, and together with you, Shout Realm Dynamic, joining us live, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. Gentlemen, I have learned much to be learned about that Intel card from last week. Before I say anything, I owe the person who purchased that card to read the gift note, because if you pick up anything for the studio, not only do I put you like, oh, you're here. No, fuck no. This is Linux Gamecast. You're on our wall of shame of fine upstanding cannibals because we love you. That lets you know that you are truly fiscally irresponsible, but we do appreciate it. And you get to send it a note with an Amazon thing, which I couldn't find last week. But for our little Intel card, Arthurian says, does this card get Vin's officially unofficial wax seal of approval? A, my seals are made of arsenic. of te working? Question mark. With love, allegedly, from Arthurian. Arsenic hearts back to you, buddy.
what about some old lace hearts?
Can it be arsenic lace?
Yeah.
I am just big on arsenic this evening, man. I'm really thinking arsenic's making a comeback.
I'm more of a cyanide fellow myself.
All right.
I'm a fan of the gom jabar. Sticky with the pointy end.
Yeah. It lead coated, so it's delicious when you rub it on your tongue.
Oh, dude. wall candy. If you tuned in on Wednesday, I did a live stream of just plugging that card into Rectangle, which is a little thermal note box that I built. And, just some basic testing, but I was able later that afternoon and the next day to get some real testing. I don't want to spoil it for you if you didn't see the live stream, but there's some engineering mishaps on that card, and I just a bunch of things that I've not seen anybody talk about with Intel Arc on Linux. I'm like, I know people haven't talked about them because when you Google them and you what do you say, Pedro? You duck duck go them because you
yes.
make, okay. You DDG them.
I bing them.
You bing them. There's no search results for this stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're gonna type it out, and I'm gonna be working on that. And I did get out the video for the NHP1, the fanless cooler from Noctua. I put that up with a write-up, super serious, like hyper clinical, no jokes, just nothing but science all the way down.
Delicious magical science.
It's kind of difficult, man, because I want to maintain a certain level of jank in anything that we do. But at the same time, in order to do that correctly, I still got to throw in some stuff where people are like, oh, you're doing that intentionally. I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Oh, man, we're trying to have some fun here. So that is out over on Interfacing Linux. If you've been curious about that and you're like, hey, man, maybe I want to try this fanless cooler, because all the YouTubers put it on CPUs that they knew it couldn't cool, because that gets more clicks than what I did. But yeah, I get some actual information over there. I did try to melt it with a kernel compile, though. So if you just want to watch that torture test, it is there. Jordan, you survived a snowstorm of ale.
Yeah, a snowstorm, an ale storm, and a guy with a really horny guy, actually. He had like a crown made out of like deer horns. But that was one of the opening bands. No, I saw Ailstorm last night. They're doing their tour of the Dead Marauder, so I caught the show. It was fun. Haven't been to a metal show since the last one I went to a month ago, but hey, I get to do that again. That's fun.
I hold your Wii.
Yeah. We were at this Masonic temple that has like four bathrooms, and was like the venue was completely sold out too, so it was like completely at capacity. And the bathroom line was like way longer than the merch line. It was kind of funny.
Did did anybody invent like bathroom corners?
No, not that I'm aware of.
All right.
I'm sure the cleaners next day found out.
I hope not. I did like that the mosh pit was crazy enough that Ailstorm had to start playing elevator music to calm them down, and people were still moshing to it. It was great.
Nice. Pedro, the jumper pack Mateus.
Jumper cables well, there was on that his discussion nipples Mateus.
On Discord, and apparently the one you suggested I already have.
Oh.
It's the little jumper pack that also works as a power bank.
Now here's a question. Did you buy it for the jumper bag?
Yes.
Okay. Mine, I bought for the power bank. I did a search for ginormous ion lithium brick with a type A and a type C. I'm like, oh, cool. It's even got a light on it. Shows up and it came with the nipple clamps. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I left it alone for 2 days. We're like, all right, I got to see if this works. And I hooked it up and then it spun over turbojetic because I disconnected the terminals. I'm like, huh, that's neat. So now it's in the boot. I need to buy another one for the intended purpose of having a power bank. Right.
I have mine. There's a little bag that Nori actually made the bag. And it's along with the triangle and a few other stuff. It's just there.
Yeah, I need to get one to
see if it's still charged.
I need to get one of those just because it's still fucking cold up here. Like, we got 5 centimeters of snow or some shit. Like, cars won't start. It's a fun time.
Yeah, dude. You got to watch out. But we're never going to get those electrified nipple clamps on the horse. No.
That's because the horse doesn't have any nipples. It has these weird hose mechanisms that go into some strange pump, which we call the steam.
Linux. Oh, day.
Horse udders.
Utterly ridiculous.
Much like Fast and the Furious, Linux is about family and not about crashing cars into other cars. And Steam wants to embrace you into its family and give you some better family sharing options. So we got the new Steam families. This overrides the old family sharing system, which has some improvements, i.e. more than one person can play a game on an account at a given time. That's the big one. You mm-hmm. will still need N number of games if you want N number of people to play it at a given time. So if I'm playing Apex Legends and Ven's playing Apex Legends, we need to have two copies and we need to have a third.
And antivirus.
Yeah. And a bunch of Ring Zero. We'll get to that later. You know what? that is not part of the family sharing, but it is shared via your family. Just saying. Yeah. So, they have some, purchase requesting stuff.
Unfortunate
for children as well.
Wording.
Yeah. Child purchase requests. As I was getting to, yeah, once upon a time you'd have to go to your kid's computer and punch in your credit card, to buy games. Now they can just ask you and spam you, spam the parent accounts for purchase authorizations. But there's some caveats here. So if Billy gets banned because he's hacking on Apex Legends and he wasn't victim to some Destroyer 2009 shenanigans, you Papa will get banned.
What happens if my brother? So you know what? Let your sister do the cheating for you.
Mm.
There's no mention of sister in here. Sisters are
sisters are the legal gray area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing will happen to you. Now this does bring up a lot of questions because, I played around with it. Just out of necessity this week, because I was doing some benchmarks on the ARC A310 card, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to do it on this box, and I was like, do I want to put the games on a drive, then lug them over, then log back, and I'm like, hang on a minute, nice, punched it in, synced it up, not a problem, but it instantly, I don't like having to do the pin code constantly, because Steam will default into family mode, and then you can remove restrictions. Which isn't that big a deal, but it worked fine. It didn't complain. It was zero friction. Now, apparently, a long time ago, with the original implementation of family sharing, you could play multiple games on the same account. It wasn't a problem. They never really enforced it. It was real easy to get around. Wink, I should say. You could just drop offline and we can play. Maybe a little too much abuse on that side, so they started enforcing it, and now this is kind of bringing this back. Now you're sitting at me like, I'm a developer, don't worry, you got hopped into this, you can pick and choose, you can say I don't want my game as part of this. And something we need to bring up, it is all about family, all right? It is. But you can only change families once a year.
Yes, they do say, because this is supposed to be for actual families, this is not for buddy-buddy time, that that you can only join new families once a year. But if you're if you're the family administrator, you can remove a bunch of people. You can just—it's very easy to disown your family via Steam. that's our clickbait title.
Easily disowning your family
with Steam. Steam wants you to disown your family.
Yeah, no, my big question was, okay, so if I own Elden Ring and Nori is playing Elden Ring from my account, and Nori owns the DX11 version of Skyrim, can we both, you know, be Nori be playing Elden Ring and I'll be playing the DX11 version of Skyrim? Can we now both do that without having to drop offline? And after rereading the thing a couple of times, it's like, yes, they do have a bit that says that, yes, you can. Even if they are online playing another game, you can still play a game that's on their library. So
now,
okay, cool.
So if you want, interesting you bring this up, because if you want double Skyrim, you got to play Skyrim 2012 and original Skyrim at the same time.
Yes.
And then it won't overlap. So if you want to double up on that Skyrim, you can.
This does bring up a couple of things, though, to what Jordan was talking about. Like, okay, no, because that was kind of your options. You know, if you had the kids in the family, either had to get annoyed every single time. Like, I want to get this game. You're like, okay, fine, here, let me log into your thing and punch in my card and all that. Or you like, gave them some cash, you know, loaded up their Steam wallet and let them decide what games they were going to buy. So I could see this being a unintended bad effect, because now growing up as a kid, you're not building your own Steam library.
You're inheriting.
You're not even like, well, what happens when, you know, you get disowned?
Then you don't get Vigigame.
Is that like a valid like university strategy? If you don't pass all your courses, I'm taking you off Steam Family and you have no games anymore, Junior.
So I guess my understanding is that like the games purchased under the account still belong to that account.
Oh, they do. What I'm saying, like previously, like you would buy the kid on a game and that would be on their account. Now you're just like, okay, I'm just going to set you up account and here you have access to the games. And if you want to buy a game, I'm buying it through my main account, not yours. Better stay on my good side.
I mean, requiring parents to like, that parent their children, I'm not seeing a downside here.
I'm thinking about like as I don't have any games. Like when I'm like 25, I'm like, I don't have any games, man.
But then that's great, because then you can give Valve even more money to buy them again. Yes.
Now let's talk about, this is not going to work for like online multiplayer games. No, you're not going to be able to cheap out and be like, we could play the same game and like, no. Oh.
I kind of wish they would like give an option though for like games that like are more co-op oriented or like multiplayer oriented, where like you can say like, yeah, you know, you can, two people can like a Wolfenstein Youngblood or an It Takes Two scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Like where you could have an option like that. That might be cool as like a feature enhancement.
It'll be interesting to see what type of like shenanigans, like once you start throwing remote play on top of this, I'm like, how somebody's gonna find
that's like, how you
this,
do it.
This kills remote play, right?
Yeah. No, this is how they sell remote play. It's like, okay, games that only have local multiplayer but have been, you know, verified for remote play together, you don't have that limitation. You can just have as many people want. That would be one way to solve it
the whole remote play mechanism is that like it's just an extra controller plugged in over the network, right? Like, so mm-hmm. I don't see how that would require the devs to do work that they weren't going to support in the first place because they're using Steam Remote Play. So.
I think this is a excellent, very clever way for Valve to introduce people to this idea of like, hey, using game, like maybe I don't necessarily own them, but somebody has them. You got to ease the consumer into it very gradually before they release the Steam Pass. And you can test the mechanism behind that. And like, you know. And also make sure the developers are like, or the developers are going to be okay with this idea. Like, let's make sure that this is opt in, see how they respond, see how people are using it. Yep. Then, you know, let's a couple of years down the road, or maybe tomorrow for whatever. And I'm spitballing here, but I'm kind of trying to read through the GLaDOS leaves here of then going, all right, give us $20 a month and we have, you know, the Microsoft Game Pass, but for Steam, right? You get X amount of games and. Yeah,
I mean, just to have like a base of games that everyone can play, and then have a few every now and then.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be an interesting way to like introduce like Steam tiers in terms of like getting like, because people are like, oh, because we've talked about this before last week, where people are saying, where people are upset about the 30%, like, oh, well, you can get the 15% or whatever, but you don't get access to like the Steam Pass or whatever stuff, right? Like, if you wanna get in there, then you need to. I don't know how that would work necessarily. The math in that doesn't check out, but I don't know. They're
Half-Life 3 only available on Steam Pass.
Only Steam Deck exclusive, baby.
All right, speaking of Steam Decks,
let's Steam Deckify the world. At least that's the promise behind Playtron. Yes, it is effectively a little project. Well, little. I say little. It's already got Samsung money behind it. But yeah, it is. Bunch of people led by the creator of Cyanogen OS, a Cyanogen mod. They basically want to create a completely hardware neutral operating system designed for gaming, because the rise of handhelds, you know, there's a lot more handhelds out there, and the Steam Deck turned out to be very, very popular. So let's corner that particular market. And it, you know, fair enough. I actually do enjoy that idea. I enjoy that idea very much. And their attempt to be SteamOS, but not necessarily on Steam-only hardware for everything, I'm down for that. Except for the Samsung part.
Yeah, the technology is interesting, because if you look at the partners and you look at the open source things that they are contributing to and from, they list stuff like Heroic, Chimera OS. Mm-hmm. Box 86, because one of the things here is they want to support ARM handhelds,
right.
Yes. Going forward. So getting x86 games running there is going to be huge. Open GamePad UI, Heroic Games Launcher. So it's a pretty solid foundation of like open source tech that if you were going to build an operating system like this, this would be a good place to start. So it makes sense. It looks like it's integrating Heroic for like other store support. Steam is just natively supported in Linux because you can install Steam. Yeah so...
I do like
certainly interesting play.
Yeah, The Verge did an interview with one of the people involved, and it's like one of the quotes I have a bit of an issue with, because apparently they're using Fedora Silverblue as the base for Playtron. One of the things is the immutable file system from Fedora Silverblue will be very helpful in implementing our anti-cheat system, but it's not our anti-cheat system. We are planning to generate signatures for each version of ROS, easy with Silverblue, as well as all the DLLs that install dynamically. Basically, are using SDK, a game developer will be able to obtain a signature, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they're actively wanting to bring root level ring zero anti-cheat to Linux, and I'm not okay with that because the immutable file system in Silverblue is immutable for the root, everything that runs in
what about
the user. Yes.
Well,
everything that runs in user is not immutable. That you can still change. It's the same thing with SteamOS proper. So if they are talking about allowing
based on what you said, though, it looks like it's creating like a signature database of all of the files that might be loaded on the system, and then just actively comparing them to see if they've been modified. But I mean, that's like tripwire, right? But I don't know if this is as far as they're gonna go, right? This is still early days. We don't even know if this is gonna be.
It's good to know that you get some type of like runway put together for that. But you're like getting to the point where like people are going to like make games for this device. It was a little bit fucking delusional. I'm using the right word there. Fucking delusional. But the business sense, why you get somebody like Sony, or Samsung, or who else is going to make these damn things, MSI with a claw, is they have to pay.
Aya Neo, apparently.
Aya Neo.
Aya Neo is going to, supposedly.
I'm going to get the sentence out. Try four. They have to pay for a Windows license for these handhelds. And like, I don't know what the actual price is, but, you know, like, this is going to cost us like 80, 90 bucks if we get like, you know, shadymcwindows.com. They're not giving this out to OEMs for free. They want like 10 bucks. And I'm like, hey, we'll give you the Steam Deck like experience for your handheld, your car, whatever, your wiffle ball bat. And you're going to save all this money and all these games are just going to work and you'll be able to play this. The whole problem with this is this entire company disappears 11 minutes after Valve releases SteamOS 3 to the public.
Well, they won't disappear. They'll just pivot to a new thing.
Well, so I mean, I think the big differentiator here is the ARM thing. We haven't really seen Valve make any sort of like big pushes into that direction. And with Samsung's backing, they do have a lot of expertise in that field.
We have a system for that for ARM based mobile gaming right now, Jordan.
Yeah,
it's called Android.
No, Samsung Tizen.
Tizen. Well, yeah, but this is the one that Samsung controls, and not the one that Google.
I don't
controls.
Want my ARM game. Yeah, they trust me. Multiple companies have tried to make the gaming phone with handheld bullshit attached to it. They sold four of them. Like
Nokia N-Gage, baby.
Asus keeps releasing ROG phones.
Uh-huh.
They have several models of that.
Now, I don't know if we talked about this in the pre-super shows in a while back. If you want like an extra hour of like, there's hundreds and hundreds of like bonus content, become a patron. Patreon.com/LinuxGamecast for our pre-super shows and podcast.
You chill.
You know it, baby. The idea of the younger generation, when you're faced with, am I buying a gaming PC or am I speccing out a gaming phone? That's a real discussion 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old is having.
I was listening to a Thor stream on YouTube, and he was talking about that, where like when he was demoing his game at Ferris, like children would go past the controller and start like touching the monitor because they thought it was a touchscreen game, right? Like, mobile phone gaming is huge. And
those are going to be like gaming phones are going to be a thing for that same subset of like gaming desktops were when we were growing up. Like that is going to have that same appeal. Like, okay, I got $1,000 to spend.
RGB phones. Are they going to like,
again, they're going to be like Asus ROG phone. Look it up.
They already make them with like clip on active cooling. Like, I mean,
are we going to see like the phone, the belt clips come back? You remember those
for that extra battery so I can overclock? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I'm waiting for the curved displays.
On phones.
Hey man, good luck, Playtron. Good luck. You know, hopefully this comes out. It's a great thing. It's based on Linux like SteamOS is, and you know, maybe if this gets enough traction, Valve, because I don't think Valve is being like hostile by not releasing SteamOS. It's just fucking Valve. There's no competition, and like there's
they have no motivation to do it.
They're they'll get it done eventually. Yeah. Like when somebody gets around to it. So maybe this will be like, we don't want to lose everybody, you know, we don't want everybody else to play catch up with that, or we don't have to
match on. But I don't know. Given the reaction that like it was Aya that were like they were announcing that they were going to have like Chimera OS or one of the other ones, Holo ISO, on one of the handhelds, and that got a shit ton of backlash. So you think I don't know.
Well, it's got a backlash because at first to push
something like this forward,
average person gives negative fuck zero about what operating system is playing their games on a handheld.
Sure.
And the backlash for the Ioneo thing is because, oh no, we're going to be using SteamOS. Oh no, it's not SteamOS. It's going to be a Holo ISO. Oh no, we're not going to be doing that at all. We're just going to release another Windows handheld. Mm-hmm. That's why people were pissed off.
I mean, some conversations were had. Let's just say.
We have SteamOS at home.
Yeah.
Kind of a light week in the new native Linux game section for Steam this week. Not 1D, not 5D, but we do have a new game, a 4D golf, where you can explore higher dimensions with golf and conquer mind-bending golf challenges with 4s and Ds, and you can unlock new things. Huh. I'm watching the trailer. And like it looks like a fever dream of like shifting and manipulating courses, and I'm like, well, what's so 4D about it? Because I'm thinking back to like, remember like the 4D craze, like back in the early 90s when everything like was like 4D right, boxing and
3D was the big thing in movies. So games were like, yeah, we're 4D.
We got 4Ds. We got Ds falling out of our like pants legs.
We got Ds nuts, baby.
Yeah, baby. We're just covered in Ds. And I'm looking at this trailer and I'm like, where are all the Ds, bro?
So from what I can tell, you're basically just golfing in a mathematical model of a tesseract. Because, like, y'all remember basic linear algebra, where it's like, oh, yeah, you can mathematically model as many dimensions as you want. So, yeah, it just adds that Zorth dimension or whatever.
It is very much playing on the relative dimensions and how your perspective affects them. We've seen that. It's been done many times, maybe not necessarily for mini golf.
Hyperbolica is the one.
Superliminal. Yes. Superliminal was the name of the game. Also played a lot around with that particular mechanic. I don't see the time travel anywhere, though. Because I too looked at that trailer. It's like, okay, so where's that fourth dimension kicking in?
Come on, because it's the tesseract, right? Like it's not time as a dimension. It's just another like directional layer, I guess.
1999. Right now, if you act right now, because that's just the regular price, so you don't really save anything. But single player.
Single or split screen
or split
remote single play, baby. remote play golf. That's what I love to.
All right, that's going to do it. Let's just go ahead and get into the news, since we are all business, right? Linus, you want to take? No, you know, all right. Huge fans of NVIDIA, everything they do, absolute NVIDIA shills, dyed in green wool, ladies and gentlemen. We have nay a bad thing to say about that wonderful, glorious leather jacket, which is in charge of one Jensen
Huang.
But
Jensen Huang.
Unfortunately, unlike AMD, a lot of new Linux users run into skill issues trying to install NVIDIA drivers because you just can't plug the card in and cut the box off.
Nowadays,
for a while, that was kind of NVIDIA's fault, but then they did a good. Mm-hmm. They released the GSP firmware, so now we have some black boxes and some documentation that we can plug our code into and push some pixels on the screen.
We're getting there. We're trying to make it where you don't have to be competent in Linux in order to install your video card like you do with an NVIDIA card. You buy an AMD card, you can chew on all the glue sticks you want. You just pop thing in, go burr. You don't have to worry about it.
Same with Intel, apparently. Unless you want to change the heat.
Yeah, but burr's a lot louder, dude.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yes. Thin blower fans.
So, that's kind of been our dream, though, to get Team Green to... And we've had Nuvo, but Nuvo's completely reverse engineered, and we've had power issues and all. It's just amazing that it functioned at all.
It worked well enough to get the binary drivers installed. So.
And NVIDIA's dragged ass, and they finally got the GSP firmware, and they're like, okay. Well, then, and we have the NBK project, which is going to the actual graphics, like, okay, this is going to be dope, and, the Zinc for the OpenGL. Like, okay, we got something going together. Then Red Hat shows the fuck up out of nowhere. They're like, hey, what's up? Y'all heard about Rust? I'm like, really? You're like, really? Rust? No, like, kernel, like, why? Reasons?
It's memory safe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so's every language if you don't fuck it up.
Well, that's the thing. You don't get the opportunity to fuck it up with Rust.
So this comes in. This is going to be a GSP-only driver for the NVIDIA GPUs, and it is the successor to the Nuvo project, since if you might remember, if you listen to the show, the primary maintainer of Nuvo peaced out. He was like, I'm done with this. So they kind of had to do something, and they decided to do it in Rust from big, not blue, but big red. What do we think about this?
Big purple.
I think this makes a lot of sense. Okay, the Rust thing, I don't have an opinion on. You want to make it in Rust? Make it in Rust. But it makes sense because Nuvo was like purely OpenGL. That was what it was meant to do. It barely did it, but it did it. And if the GL bits are now going to be headed off to Zinc or whatever they decide to use to translate, they basically just do everything.
I
just
want to go ahead and throw it out. First of all, Nova, could you make it a little harder to find?
could you call the
project the?
Yeah, it is a little bit overused as a name, but yeah, no. If you're going to introduce,
Hector's
a whole
here.
New. Rendering API like Vulkan, and
it's
you're going to
characters in there too.
But this is how you understand the like quality of a repo is by the percentile of an we
yeah
Avatars.
Yep.
Yes. Although that's a Zahelina, so that's the person you kind of want.
Well, I mean, in its favor, like the higher percentile of anime weed bullshit for Avatars is like usually the better code quality.
Zahelina, Deutschen, and a few others. But yeah, no, if you have a driver that's all OpenGL all the time, and then you're going because NVK was so much faster, as it's proven to be, then it makes sense to have a whole new driver, or at least completely refactor what you already have, to work natively in Vulkan and integrate those GL calls back into Vulkan properly and not just random patchwork. I mean, we're finally, maybe getting rid of X and said patchwork.
Shut your whore mouth, Mateus.
Well, so this is still in its early days. There's still quite a bit of wrangling that needs to be done on the kernel side and on the Rust side before all of this stuff could get merged in. But I'm for moving drivers to a more memory safe language because you reduce the possibility of people screwing up and creating memory errors. And maybe this can do things like prevent incidents like ones we're going to talk about a little bit later by reducing the potential attack surface of your memory maps. But no, this is ultimately a good thing. I'm very excited to live in the future where you can just like plug an NVIDIA card in a Linux computer and it just runs.
Think of the new Linux users, both of you. What are new Linux users going to argue about if they can't argue about?
They'll just go back AMD to arguing about UX and VI.
They don't know what that is.
They'll continue to argue about AMD read. And NVIDIA.
If those kids could read, they'd be very upset, Bobby.
If those kids could quit.
I think the like AMD versus NVIDIA argument's never going to go away.
I don't know. I mean, it's
we're just going to go back to Nintendo versus
Sega. I think it's quite interesting on Linux because it is very much the schoolyard, you know, unless you had more money than I did growing up, you know, you had like that one console because you couldn't get both consoles and you like the one that you bought. So you're bringing the GPU that you came over from Windows on and you're like, no, this is the better one, no matter what it is. And you got to fight for it no matter what. You can't see both sides of it. It's awesome. I love watching these arguments.
People get really, really invested about these fucking corporations that they're giving.
They do, man. My soul's corporation's better than yours, man.
I mean, they paid into that fandom, so they're going to make use of their money.
Fucking shills.
I mean, Apple figured this out years ago, man. I'm just glad NVIDIA and AMD are catching up.
Yeah.
Don't forget about it. Well, let's not forget about Intel.
Yeah, you're just fair enough. Yeah.
Yes, Intel is also in the GPU market now.
I mean,
for realsies this time,
they're making they make things. Battlemage, come on, man, come on.
One day, eventually, we'll be able to control those fans.
Yeah, we spoilers. Nintendo
core control, come on.
Last week, we talked about a new project from not the developers of Yuzu, the Switch emulator, but no, a Phoenix. Rising from the ashiest of ashes.
The ashiest of all Larrys. Yeah, this is Suyu. You might know them as the legal version of the Yuzu emulator, supposedly. They had their, caused to celebrate this week. They had their first release. And then they decided to post that on their hosted GitLab, and they got DMCA'd. Here's the thing. I have dealt with GitLab Enterprise before. I've dealt with GitLab as a company, and they are a company, and you would have to be insane to think that they would not comply with a DMCA request on their hosted service. they have shit like Collabora as customers, right? Like they have a reputation to uphold. The public facing or the hosted GitLab mirror got DMCA'd. They do have a private one, though, and their DMCA link on that private mirror links to a Rickroll, which is good. We'll see how that goes. This was to be expected. I don't think any of us were surprised that this was going to happen at all.
No, the one thing that kind of showed me is that GitLab is basically told the world with this that they're willing to disable the accounts of people who contribute to a repository that got DMCA. Because that was what fucking happened. That was my big takeaway from that. So
that seems a little extreme.
Love it. Like,
They don't want to get sued.
That's something you need to keep in mind, because, you know, hey, welcome to the find out part of the equation. We were talking about the fuck around part of the equation last week. Well, here we go real quick. And yeah, I do feel bad for anybody, because if you contributed to that, you woke up and you're like, where's my account?
Yeah. And again, this doesn't actually solve the problem at all, because like any computer that runs SSHD can be a Git host. So we'll see how this game of whack-a-mole
goes. It's
gonna
live forever. You know, when I saw the big rah-rah, you know, you can't kill the, and like Nintendo's not trying to kill
that. You can't stop the message.
The signal, man, is always gonna get through. Nintendo is not focused on that. Nintendo, if this was Nintendo or however, the goal here is to disrupt organization. Because if you don't have a central point for people to get together and collaborate on the project, and every time you scatter it, every single time you do this, you lose people. They're just like, you know what? I ain't got time for this shit. Every time you blow up that little nest and for it to reform, it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. It's a strategy.
At least until the Switch 2 comes out.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something to be said about actively attempting to emulate and jailbreak actively supported systems. It's probably going to attract a lot of attention. And I was kind of joking last week when I said that, oh, they really want Senpai to notice them. I guess Senpai didn't notice them after all. I don't know.
It is what it is, right? Like,
is anybody surprised? No.
No.
Yeah. Nobody. They're like, well, that was quicker than expected, but all right.
It's like they were actively. I'd seen that on the background. It's very good. No.
Got to thank my wife for that one.
I was going to say that was last week, and I was like, oh, she set that up for you, didn't? Because I was like, no way. Hell, Jordan had them. Yeah.
Yeah.
No offense.
It's a cross stitch, actually. So, like.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Reddit, subreddit, Naughty Needles. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. Moving on from that. Well, let's go ahead and say, I mean, we're going to get, you know, I don't know if we're going to be seeing a lot of improvements on Switch emulation, which really sucks.
Yeah.
That's going to be
at least until Switch 2 comes out. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, because
Nintendo is incentivized. Do you think the Switch Lite, it's going to be like the Switch Ultra Lite that's going to be like $20 at the petrol station.
Is it going to be like a Coors Light or something?
just so Nintendo's like, nope, still in production. F you.
I mean, they could very well do that. I mean, that's what they're trying to do with, you could say that's what they're trying to do with like the NES Classic and shit. Like, oh, hey, we're still selling these games.
Still making
stop pirating. Yeah, stop pirating them.
Yeah. You know?
Could be. Then again, they also shut down the Wii U store, so they can't really care that much.
Well, they want they want you to rebuy it on the Switch store because your purchase.
You can still buy the game. Yeah. We're being poor, Pedro.
Yes.
We're not.
Speaking of people with a lot more money than we do, let's talk about Amazon, or specifically the game engine that Amazon.
Let's roll it back. Remember when Amazon was going to make video games?
Yes. They did. They made two. One of them is called New World. The other one's called Ark Legends or Legends of Ark, something like that.
Nobody can argue that.
Lost Ark could be. Yeah. Yeah. I know it's an L and Ark, but yeah. They're both using the old Lumberyard engine, which then they basically dropped on the lap of the Linux Foundation, and
which was Crytek. I think we should establish that once upon a time.
Originally, a very long time ago, was based on Crytek.
Crytek, remember when? I guess maybe they still are crunched.
CryEngine.
Crytek licensed that to them, and when they really started hurting financially, Crytek, they tried to come after Amazon. It's like, you can't open, and they're like. You didn't read the contract, homie. Like, this is a different branch. Like, you're done getting money. So how you managed to spend the amount of money we gave you in such a short period of time? Beyond us. Not our problem, though. But then we ended up, as Pedro was saying, Lumberyard came out of the Amazon going, we didn't know what we were doing. All right, whatever.
Yeah, they made those two games, and then it's like, okay, we're done. Linux Foundation, here you go. You can have it. So they started the Open3D Foundation for the Open3D Engine, as it's called now. And the Linux Foundation have decided to advertise possibly the biggest game to come out on the Open3D engine ever, And it's, what's it called? I don't want to call it the thing that I've been called. Mad World. Mad World.
You know, all around me are non-fungible tokens. Blockchain's broken. Bitcoin's stolen. Yes,
Jordan is alluding to. It's a Web 3.0 game. Motherfuckers.
NFTs are back, baby.
Yeah, it is straight up an NFT game that the JPEGs. Linux Foundation is advertising on their fucking website. It's an Android and iOS game, if you're really that interested. But it's a fucking NFT world. No.
I mean, NFT based. Fuck you, Decrypt. territory control elements.
Yeah. So Ingress. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Ingress with NFTs, yes.
Carbonated Incorporated, the people behind this, from the video game veterans from PlayStation Electronic Arts, revealed, they've raised $11 million in Series A funding for this. Another round led by Blockchain Network, XBLA, whatever that means. I'm sure this means something to somebody. And they previously had raised $8.5 million for a fucking mobile game, man.
$20 million.
You gotta play that on your ROG Ally phone, right?
I guess. Or your iOS. The only reason we're giving this a mention is because it's made with Odie, which is the open 3D, and I guess it's better than nothing.
Someone's doing something with it, I guess. Yeah, right?
That's great, but can we please not make it fucking crypto? Just let it die.
We'll give you double crypto.
that's the only reason it raised $11 million, right?
Yes.
Every time I see something like this, with like NFT, like the same thing with like blockchain technology, perfectly valid tech. And that's,
not for this though.
You don't know. Like it depends how I'm waiting for like the NFT thing makes perfect fucking sense. Like I like the concept and idea behind it. Which you got to watch out for, which everybody learned, is the fucking cash grab fucking scammers who immediately jump on it and try to monetize something. Like, this isn't really designed to sell shit.
If you listen to like what Anil Dash was talking about when he originally theorized about it, it was just like a way to attribute credit to whoever makes a fucking image on the internet.
And
it wasn't actually
like when you think about it, like we fucking missed the boat with that, especially like if, because now NFTs get a bad funk to it because we're ripping on it just knee jerk, right? Think about like the NFT proof of, you know, ownership, how handy that would be in a world of fucking getting your art trained on without your consent and showing up in other places.
Which is a problem, yes.
Like, you know, baby in bathwater and all that shit. So it's going to be interesting that when it comes back around. And so like maybe they'll implement this in a way that is not directly tied to like a monetization. I doubt it.
No, that's what the people want now.
It is a mobile game. It is inherently targeting the microtransactions.
That's kind of why I'm not completely poo-pooed on it, because they don't need the NFTs for the microtransactions. They already got the microtransactions.
No, it's already on mobile, so they're already...
Not Frieza in Discord alludes to, it's just a buzzword, right? Yeah.
We'll never see, man. Maybe it'll be double AI, triple NFT.
Oh, there we go. I found a list of games using Lumberyard. Star Citizen, that thing still hasn't released.
Really? I want extra fungible tokens, though.
That's it?
Yeah, and the Grand Tour game.
Oh, God.
Which was Xbox One and PlayStation 4 only. It never came out on PC. It was panned to high hell.
It was made by somebody like, imagine if Jordan made a driving simulator.
I would rather get punched in the face by Clarkson than play that game. I would rather
Amazon
Game
Studios
play that game.
I'd
rather eat cold steak.
Additional support by Heavy Iron Studios.
That's wild, man. A little bit of news to close out on this week is... nobody's a fan of anti-cheat. Because I think we all have the opinion of like, well, that's we either have security theater or stuff that if you know anything, you're not going to install it on your box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like there doesn't seem to be a nice squishy middle ground here. And that stuff that you shouldn't get set up and installed on your box kind of really messed up an Apex Legend tournament earlier.
You didn't have a say in the matter.
Apex Legend streamers were surprised to find aimbot and other hacks added to their PC in the middle of a major competition. Now, to my first reaction was, how is there enough people playing this game to warrant? And apparently, I mean, they went free to play, Second Life and all that. So the note is, there's currently an RCE exploit being used and abused in Apex Legend that could be delivered from the game itself or its anti-cheat protection. Now, initially, see, we get to talk about this because Apex Legends was one of the games, if not the first, with official easy anti-cheat under Linux support. Mm-hmm. It was. And like, they were like, ooh, no. And they're like, nope, go play it. It's official. We support it. And they've only broken it like twice, which is pretty good for them. They got it back up and running. Now, of course, Easy Anti-Cheat jumped right out and were like, not on us, bro. Like, we're security theater. Our stuff couldn't do this in the first place. Like, we're just like, people like looking at blue bears and they think they're secure and you give us some money. That's how Easy Anti-Cheat works, basically. And this was bad enough to like shut down the tournament. Right? And yeah. They get in touch with a hacker. Jordan's going to say to... You got like two little lines. It looked like you wanted to get them out.
Oh, no. I was going to say, yeah. The hacker came forward because he was like, yeah, I don't want these guys to like, get banned or anything. I just did this to like prove that we can do it so that they patch it. And I mean, I guess good on him for that.
Is like Destroyer 2009. He said, hey, man, yeah, I did this just for fun. Like, you know, just for a good laugh. And with the goal of forcing Apex Legends, the developers, to fix the vulnerability that he exploited. Now, and you're wondering, why didn't he just report this? Now, this is where I kind of take issue with the dude, as EA doesn't have a bounty program. And he's like, what? I'm going to waste my time like screaming at how? No, and I guess that's the other side to it. How many times have we seen somebody trying to get something fixed, Truck Simulator, yes. and nothing gets changed? And you're like, here's the problem very publicly. And there'll be a link to everything in the show notes because they interviewed him on a site on TechCrunch, I believe it was. Yep. And he went into it and he's like, trust me, nobody's going to be able to replicate what I got going on. And the people working at EA know exactly what the hell I just did. And they need to fix it. And like in the middle, like we had like cheat menus and stuff pop up on the screen. Like, I'm not going to play the video online. Go watch it yourself. That's kind of wild. And yeah, to what Jordan said. The guy came out and he's like, these guys were completely innocent. I just picked them because I liked them and I wanted to give them some attention.
They seem like nice guys. Yeah. So I decided to fuck with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just help them out. Now they got the press and you know, to make sure that none of them got like accused of cheating.
Yeah.
Cheating in online games though. Yeah, Pedro?
Yeah, no, I've been shouting that client-side anti-cheats are bullshit and they only really impact the people who are playing the game legitimately, much like DRM. Only the people who legitimately bought the game are the ones impacted by the DRM. And here we are, once again, proving my fucking point.
and to that point, it's like, yeah, Ring Zero is Ring Zero, even if it's not easy anti-cheat. You're given Apex Legends the ability to access your system at that level. And yeah, it can be exploited. And best intentions go out the window because once you start factoring remote code execution into it, And anything goes, especially at that level.
If you made such a wash of it where something like this is even possible, like my solution is, I mean, it's sorted for us on Linux, like the like hyper invasive easy anti-cheat, not easy anti-cheat, but like, you know, the StarForge level stuff typically just doesn't work. You know, we talked about Roblox. Mm-hmm. They're like, yep, we're done. And like, doesn't affect me because I wasn't going to fuck with you in the first place because I've said it before and I'll say it again. Anytime you buy something with easy anti-cheat or what is the BattleNet one called?
BattleEye.
Unless they've come out and publicly said like, hey, we're going to make sure this is supported. You're gambling. Mm-hmm. You're gambling. Like you wake up tomorrow and they're like, it no longer works. Shrug emoji. You're just out of that money. You don't have like, but and like go install Windows if you want to keep playing it.
And like, I don't know, this is going to forever be a problem as long as there's like money tied into professional gaming. I mean,
easy anti-cheat, like online cheating, cheaters suck. Like, and nothing's being done really. Like, this is treating symptoms, not causes.
Mm. Yeah. Like, the moment that you have something which can easily be exploited, it's your problem. It shouldn't be the problem of the people paying you money to play your game. You should be the ones handling the anti-cheat stuff and not dumping it on people.
Here's another good example of this flipper shit in Canada, right? They want to ban the flipper zero.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, because, oh, you can use it to steal cars. Why is it so easy to steal cars in the first place? You can't even use it. Yes.
You can't even use it for that. You need way more equipment than flipper zero too. Because you get to roll the keys in a modern car.
And the flipper doesn't even have the capture capability. But again, like Ben said, you're treating the symptoms and not the cause. Why are you creating a situation where this is possible in the first place?
Because the corporations give us money, Jordan.
Yeah, clearly.
They don't give me money. I want some of that.
No flipper, you could have a black market to dolphins.
Snorky, talk, man.
It really doesn't. The more I think about it, the angrier I get. The
only play with your friends.
Remote play only. That's the solution.
I mean,
Apex Legends tournament.
Here's where I'm at. You know, at 40 fucking years old, if I'm going to play online, I'm only playing with my fucking friends. I don't play with fucking randos. And even in my fucking 20s, like, I rarely played. I had a group of friends that I had no desire to get in a fucking room. Nowadays, in 2024, I'm even thinking about it. Everything's in fucking question. Why? Because we were looking up like cheat engines in a pre super show for Linux, and it was on the first page to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can imagine, like, pennies you got to spend to get Windows versions, and like, it's your Lance Armstrong, man. You got a dope to compete.
The only people that are affected by anti-cheat fucking up, case in point, are the people playing the game legitimately. The cheaters have already found ways around it. They're already cheating. They're already posting YouTube videos of cheating in the current released stable client.
What's to be done about it, Pedro? What's the solution?
We've tried nothing, man, and we're all out of ideas.
What they should be doing is, as the developers of the software, mm-hmm. they should be taking the onus of stopping that cheating at the server side, their side, not foisting it on people.
How come nobody's done that yet?
Because that would require a hell of a lot more money. They would require them to do the job properly. It would, instead of just paying Easy Anti-Cheat, instead of just paying BattleEye, they would have to fucking do it, and they don't want to fucking do it.
What if, they couldn't afford to? Come on.
I mean, they clearly can afford to pay Easy Anti-Cheat.
Do you think that's more or less than rolling that in-house?
It depends on the quality of your programmers, I guess.
I know how much Easy Anti-Cheat costs, though.
Yes.
But I don't know what it's going to cost us, though. I'm trying to think about before we start releasing this game we're working on, me and you, Pedro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we got to make these decisions. About
Brick Knight? Robricks?
Five Nights at Bricks?
Yeah. Five Nights at Brickies?
That's the thing. I don't think that most of these decisions were made before the game was even out. They probably had something that they thought was, you know, going to prevent that from happening.
I don't think anybody sets out to make a game that's easily exploitable.
Mm-hmm.
These are incredibly complex pieces of software. Like, it's bound to happen that you're going to find exploits, right?
Oh, there will always be exploits. But again, the onus should not be on the fucking user to deal with it. It should not be required for people to have Ring Zero fucking anti-cheat that you can't shut down, or Ring Zero Securom from back in the day that you couldn't even fucking close to play a video game.
I'm waiting to when it gets to the point where games are going to be delivered in KVMs.
Once they're already like delivered by like EME secured web pages, like how what Netflix is doing, that's mm-hmm. it, right? Like that's the ultimate solution is game streaming, right?
You have game no streaming is platform. Like that. There will be that. You want to talk about like a weird case for like competitive tournaments? Like, as strange as this sounds right now, that's going to be the one way that you can guarantee that only the people who've paid off the company,
the judges,
you're going to have a competitive advantage. Interesting times, man. We just thought we'd give that a mention since you can play Apex and yeah, that, I mean, that just sucks for the guy, because like, I'm sure some people were like, they've been practicing, they wanted to play a tournament and get together, and they just got
there's money on the line, right?
Like, work, some, right? Yes. Millions.
For some people, this is their jobs.
Yeah, so they could have been rent for some motherfucker. Yeah, there you go. That's going to do it for the news. Let's get into a little bit of feedback. If you want to get in touch with us, linuxgamecast.com, contact button. Put that shit together, little man, in our hand with some letters, and then click send. But it says send, but send didn't rhyme with hand, so sand did.
Just mail us some sand to our P.O. box, please.
I wonder how much I wonder how much sand I can mail before they start asking questions.
Depends. I guess depends on where you get the sand from. If it's just like Home Depot sand or like beach sand, that's a different story.
I don't know.
If you're like on the beach with like a shovel and you're just scooping sand into a bag.
This is why I could never like win a lottery or anything, because now I'm just like, I wonder how many days in a row I can ship like, you know, 12 kilos of not enough.
You could claim it was packing material. No, like, no, so what are you using it's packing material? Sand.
Sand written on it.
Sand.
With quotes.
Sand. Oh, that was going to get ripped open and tested everywhere.
Yeah, and it's always going
to
be
sand. And then it's going to go everywhere, and then you have to clean up the sand.
And every single time, it's just going to be fucking sand. And eventually somebody's going to be the fuck are you up to, man?
No. One time it's going to be glitter and the rest of it's going to be sand.
Oh, sand. No. That one's okay. Right. Not
that
sand.
That works for glitter. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting. Right? Like.
Ladies and gentlemen, linuxgamecast.com contact button. Leave a comment. If you want to get in touch with us on YouTube, or if you're a patron, leave it on the patron post, because if you are a patron, you get the super HD commercial-free version in video form. Go check it out if you didn't know about it. All right. So last week, I was like, we were talking about, you know, the Steam sale, spring sale, and we were trying to take that trip back through memory lane, man, trying to test out some synapses by saying, what was the last time? I look forward to adding.
Dropped it.
Yep. I don't even know what fell.
What was the last game that you just bought? Impulse be damned. Impulse control out the door. Like, I gotta have. I almost did that yesterday with a New Horizon game, but it didn't. We just want you to write in, and we got a couple people.
Well, we got some feedback from the audience. We asked,
what do we get? Let's judge.
13 remaster from Arthurian. We got New World from Nilly69. Nice. Helldivers 2 from Jiskar, our favorite redhead, one of our favorite redhead employees. I guess that's like the latest one. He wins from that. Doom 2016 from the Linux Noob, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider from Stars Diaries.
Huh. Let's see.
To address Nilly69's thing, because they also commented that apparently they're running into the same thing that I was running into, which is the game crashes after like an hour and a half.
At least disable, it's not your GPU exploding.
No, it's if you're using Pipewire, it keeps generating buffer underruns until the process is using so much memory that it just crashes. Disable the in-game voice chat, as in go to the options menu, go to that option and select disabled. It gets rid of the issue.
On the topic though, do you keep voice chat enabled in games?
You just disable it. Once you're done on installing Pipewire.
Yeah, no, I'm still using Pipewire, and
you don't have a choice. You're on KDE.
Yeah.
It's not like you can remove it. Your fucking desktop's tied to a sound server like GNOME. Like, brilliant move.
No, it's not.
KDE uses Phonon, which is pretty much independent from ALSA, Pulse, Jack. Yes.
Yeah. Try to uninstall Pipewire from GNOME, Jordan. With Wayland. With Wayland, I mean, watch it.
We'll watch it till you get fucked. Yeah, let's move that goalpost.
So let's take a look at a couple of titles. I don't know what XII Remastered is. I don't think you did either.
I saw the cover, and it was like originally released on like the Xbox or the PlayStation 2 or something like that. It was like a first person shooter. It was like highly stylized, like comic book style. Yeah. Yeah.
And it did the pow whenever you did like a punch on an enemy, and had like
the Batman
like the comic scene thing.
I never heard of it. Headshot. So, yeah.
I really liked the original 13. That was a fun FPS.
Up next, yeah, New World. Don't give it. It's a multimedia online role playing game. Helldivers 2. I've seen the Love Affair, the Linux Gamecast Discord Balmer peak of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they find the game and everybody plays it for a week and you never see it again. Because everybody jumps in the after shows and for voice chat. Doom 2016, which I probably would have bought if it would, you know, if it was today and Doom 2016 came out, I probably would have bought that myself. And of course, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I do believe I did buy. No, we probably got review copies for that, don't we?
Yeah, we did. Maybe not the last one. I think we got the first one.
I don't think for Shadow of the Tomb Raider we got review copies.
But
well, and we bought it on release for Linux, which was a bit later after.
Right, and I wonder if Stars bought that for Windows as well, because there was that brief minute where it's like, well, this thing runs about as well in Proton as the other one. So
mm-hmm. The Shadow of the Tomb Raider, because we were waiting on that because it was like over a year before we got the Linux version, and I remember talking on a show because when Proton had come out, I had tried it and it wasn't quite at 60, but it was running at like 50, you know, struggling. And I was like, that week episode, I was like, Farrell's getting out of the Linux gaming business. Like, they're like, this is,
yeah.
Yeah. Lo and behold, right? Yeah. But, ooh, yeah. Yeah. Nostradamus Stone. What do we got up next?
Up next, we got some mail from Naders. They say, before getting my Steam Deck, I intended to put Windows on it. 2 years after getting it, I have Garuda Linux only on my desktop. Lol, 1.5 years, not a distro I use, but it's really easy to use for a Windows gamer who has ever modded a game, and Microsoft does not own my desktop anymore. Well, congratulations.
Good. Legitimately good.
I'm proud of you.
I threw that in because somebody admitting that they bought the Steam Deck put Windows on it and went, oh no.
Oh no, this is a terrible idea. Because someone made our correct decision.
Dude, right? Well, I mean, think about it. Even we were talking about it at first. We were like, we're going to give these people a lot of shit because, you know, it made sense. You're like, oh yeah, it's Steam Deck. I put Windows on it, play my games, and then found out how Windows was on handhelds. And I'm like, no.
And as it turns out, sound didn't work on Linux on the Steam Deck. It's like the reverse Linux meme altogether.
Valve took no small part in kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink, especially in the early days, to make sure the Windows experience wasn't, they weren't going out of their way to help you.
Yeah. AMD produced some drivers. We're making them available. Have fun.
Have fun. Yeah. Enjoy your AMD drivers. So what would distribution is running?
Garuda.
Garuda.
Oh, which is Arch derivative.
Yes, it is. I was helping somebody on the Interfacing Linux forums. They were running Garuda, and I had to look that up. Is based on Arch. Is it like better than Arch?
Mm-hmm. Probably. I think it's like Manjaro, where it's one of those like we have your Arch.
Yeah, I read like the blurb, but it didn't sell me anything. It was like more modern and updated. I'm like, it's already Arch, homie.
It's Arch with really whooshy neon themes applied to it, basically.
KDE.
There's
also
a
GNOME version, but I think the default one's KDE. Yeah.
Huh. All right. I mean, good on you, man. And yeah, you don't have to run modded games under Linux. It would have been a pain in the ass since the 90s, dude. So I'm glad that's clearing up. But yeah, enjoy it. And no Microsoft on your desktop anymore. All right. Not going to say anything about all those Microsoft laptops you got laying around, though, are you? Huh? That's right. I'll just take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. But before we get out of here, we need to thank a couple of people.
Ooh.
Up to and including, Pedro, do you got the Twitch dashboard open? Did we get anybody that give us an old subaru while we were talking?
Well, let's change tabs. Someone give us a follow. There was...
Okay.
Ooh, North Ranger. North Ranger did a... resubscription. 20 months has been subscribed for 20 months about an hour ago. So thank you, North Ranger.
Ranger. And I want to thank, personally, our latest patron, King Bonge.
King Bonge?
King Bonge.
Bon Jovi?
Yep. How dare you? That's his Christian name.
Listen, it's my life, and it's now or never.
All right, I'm not gonna shut up, Dragon Ball Z movie video. All right. He has joined us at a very illustrious level of Chicago Kicks Ass. That is right.
Thank you very much, King Bunge.
As a patron, you do get access, like I said, to the highest quality versions of these shows, commercial free for your download, or you can just watch them streaming online. You get the pre-super shows in, which is a separate podcast we do before the show. It's what passes for our production meeting. Live and uncut versions. You can't make the live show, but you want it in an MP3. We got you covered. We also got the video versions available a week later for everybody, patron or not, on our YouTube Uncut channel. Go check that out. We got Amazon wish lists. Head over to linuxgamecast.com. You too can watch me stumble through one of these letters. You can watch Jordan do the same along with Pedro. If you send us anything off that, we appreciate it. And I think that we got shirts, we got merch. Go check that out. Everything's under the support tab at linuxgamecast.com. And we appreciate it for, you know, we just get to do this shit. Like, it's not polished by any means.
It's like a polished turd. I think we've cultivated an audience that kind of enjoys the jank a little bit too much sometimes.
The jank is charming, right? That's what we're going with.
Well, you know, as much fun as it is, I'd like not having to worry about, like, can we or can we not talk? Like, ever having the discussion of, like, what's marketable?
Yes. What can we talk about that we won't get demonetized?
How can we better
appeal to the 18 to 34 right. demos, right? Like, the only people who matter.
Yeah, we're just going to show you GitHub repos and shit. We're us. We'll and always mailing be us. Lists. And thank you so much, mailing lists. For letting us be us. All right. Time to roll some credits. Stick around. Watch your name in lights. But before we do that, we gotta cue that music. Get in touch with me each and every week. If you want, I'm on the social medias. I'm on them all. I'm on the X, baby. I'm on the Ys, and I'm on the Zs. At Vin Stone on Twitter. I'm at Vin on Mastodon, mast.linuxgamecast.com. And of course, Blue Sky. Just type in Vin, you'll find me.
I'm not Waldo, but you can still find me on Mastodon at frojo.mast.linuxgamecast.com, frojo@bluesky.app, and at The Burning Fool on Twitter. Yeah, there we go.
And you can find me on at an account at 4 at mass.linuxgamecast.com with the actual number 4. Follow me, and if you share interesting stuff, I'll follow you back.
I got that policy too, man, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Usually whenever I see like a thing, person followed you. Ooh, neat. Let's go.
Let's creep on their shit.
And you're like, yeah. All right. Then they
creep. Like, it's like, oh, you post some memes. You post some.
Then
like,
you get the message. You're like, why don't you follow this? Because you don't post anything interesting.
Yeah, like, I do not get follow for follow. Like, I don't want just nothing but
time
spam.
For some credits.
We are in the kink, man.
We are the kink. Just, you were merely.
Yeah, you merely adopted the kink. I was pulled out of someone's asshole, man. I'm like Lemmy Winks. We got to thank our advisors, Omegas and Arthur, and we got to thank our executive producers, Barb Ram Scott, Atomic Ass Mike, drummer Tomas, Hakim, Dave, Ishep, Ian, Kerducky, Hoplo, and 123456, and our little Nicky fans, Kong Bonge, Glorious Eggy, Empty, and Super Death Stoat.
And the sea monsters were No Rider X, Machina, Treji, Veritanuda, Justin, Darkwing, System D, Dazing, Joe, DeCresney, and Ogi1. With the Death Notes, Nova, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2.1, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Pebble, M Foxdog, Svine, Jaloux, and Piper. And I get them all this time.
Thank you to all of our fine upstanding cannibals, all of our cheerlings about getting the cannibals down real quick. Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, Nero, Aldi, Snoculus, Johnny, Shep, Gamatron, Uno, DSN, Joe, Aromatic, Devin, Kai, Jorai.
And you are all truly, truly wonderful.
And remember, it's all about the same family.
It's all about family. Pentiums.
What you want to do? I know the words to that song, man. Dynify, everyone. See you next week.
9 to 5 at Hewlett Packard.
Five dudes.